Harivaji Gachandra, Astapada Sata, Sri Srimad, His Divine Grace, His Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Vamsekaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gora Bhakta Vindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kun Radha Kun Giri Govaram Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Gangamai Yamunamai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Visharam Distribution Ki Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga. So today we're speaking from the first canto, chapter 5, verse 9 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatam Dhamma Dayas Charata Muni Vayanu Ketita Na Tata Vasudev Vasya Mahima Hi Anubhanita Yatadama Dayashtarta Munivayam Nuketita Natata Vasudev Vasya Mahima Hiyanuvandita Yatadharma Dayashtarta Munivayanu Ketita Natata Vasudevasya Mahimahiyanu Vandita Yata Dharma Dayascharta Munivayanu Ketita Natata Vasudevasya Mahimahi Anubhandita Vaishnavas, please.
Yata Dhamma Dayascharta
word yata, as much as. Dharma adaya, all four principles of religious behavior. Cha, and. Arta, purposes. Munivarya, by yourself, the great sage. Anukirtitaha, repeatedly described. Na means not. Tata, in that way. Vasudevasya, of the personality of Godhead. Shri Krishna. Mahima, glories. He, certainly. Anubhanitaha, so constantly described. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Although a great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles, beginning with religious performances. You have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudev. Could you repeat after me? Although a great sage, you have very broadly described
the four principles,
beginning with religious performances. You have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality,
Vasudev.
Report. The prompt diagnosis of Sri Narada is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vyasadeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord in his various editions of the Puranas. He has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of Lord Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. Sri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference, and still, instead of giving importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. From this it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this fact is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, etc., one is engaged in pure devotional service. This is called the stage of self-realization or the Brahma-Bhuta stage. After attainment of this Brahma-Bhuta stage, one is satisfied. But satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. This is the instruction of the personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of Brahma-Bhuta state, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasadeva, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. Om Gana Timirandasya Gana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stakitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagatatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savaduktam Vajana Savitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Vada Krishna Padam Sadhana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Radha Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanta Nigorambe Vare Vrindavanishvare Vishavaru Sintadevi Paramari Haripe Vanchakapa Tarudhascha Asindhu Evacha Atitanam Vamehyo Vishnamehyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gauravakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1 Chapter 5, verse 9, the verse once again. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality, Vasudeva. So, this is Narada Muni speaking to Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Narada Muni, he's the spiritual master of Śrīla Vyāsadeva. Śrīla Vyāsadeva, he wasn't feeling blissful. He wasn't feeling blissful. That is our constitutional position, to feel blissful, isn't it? That is our real nature. We're spirit soul. Okay, even though we're 1/10,000th of the tip of a hair, still, our nature is we are blissful. We should feel blissful. If we're not feeling bliss, we will find that there is some lacking. Even up to the level of Śrīla Vyāsadeva, who had compiled all the Vedic literatures. Can you imagine what a high platform that was? But still, he was not feeling blissful. Okay? Still, he had not reached that stage of full bliss. And his guru, Maharaj Srila Narada Muni, he pointed out that the real reason is because, yes, you have mentioned about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the Vedic literatures, but you have not emphasized his service as much as you've emphasized religion, dharma, artha, economic development, karma, sense gratification, and moksha liberation. You've emphasized all these other things much more than you've emphasized the devotional service of Krishna, Vasudeva. So this in a nutshell is what his spiritual master is saying to him. So therefore, this is an impetus now for Śrīla Vyāsadeva to complete his service, because he's the literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He's a jiva who is empowered to do a particular task for Krishna. So he came to do that task, and up to this point, he had done some of it, but he had not completed it. And the completion of that task would be to explain about the devotional service of Lord Krishna. Now, I thought I did some research on just some of the background of these personalities, Narada Muni. Now, Narada Muni, now in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3, verse 8, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada wrote this: the great Rishi Narada, who is an empowered incarnation of the Personality of Godhead, propagates devotional service all over the universe. All great devotees of the Lord all over the universe and in different planets and species of life are his disciples. This is quite interesting, isn't it? All great devotees of the Lord all over the universe. And in different planets and species of life. He has disciples in different species of life. What a guru, isn't it? What an amazing guru, haven't you? Disciples of different species of life. That is some guru, right? Are his disciples. Srila Vyāsadeva, the compiler of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is one of his disciples. Narada is the author of Narada Pancha Atra, which is the exposition of the Vedas, particularly from the devotional service of the Lord. Okay, so he has written something called Narada Panchatra. And he has
And that's basically the Vedas, but he has emphasized the devotional service of the Lord. And this is what the Narada Pancha Atra is basically about. It says it trains the fruitive workers to achieve liberation from the bondage of fruitive work. Now, Narada Muni has many disciples. I'm going to ask some of you now if you can name some of them. Any ideas? Get this. Audience participation. Interactive learning. Yes. Rigari the Hunter. That's correct. Excellent. He's a good student. You know. Right. Yes, the bike.
He had a disciple who was a snake.
That's right. A disciple who was a snake. That explains the other species of life. Who else?
Dhruva Maharaj.
Dhruva Maharaj, that's correct.
Prachetas.
The Prachetas. Any more? No. Prahlad Maharaj, yes. Any more? There's actually many, aren't there? There's actually many in the Bhagavatam. I was thinking that, you know, Srila Vyasadeva, he's a disciple of Narada Muni. And we've gone through the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, and we see all these pastimes of Narada Muni making these different personalities devotees of Krishna. And I thought to myself, this is very beautiful, because the Bhagavatam, much of the Bhagavatam, is glorification of the spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva. Srila Vyasadeva has used the Bhagavatam to glorify his spiritual master. Isn't it? All those pastimes of Narada Muni, converting people into devoted to Krishna. Sri Sri Radha Vandaneeswara ki, Sri Giri Govardhan ki, Sri Sri Gauranitai ki, Lord Jagannath Gopala Deva Subhadra ki, Gaura Premanand, Hari Hari Yidol. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful reciprocation by the disciple? Srila Vyasadeva, being the disciple of Narada Muni, has explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam how his Guru Maharaj has made so many disciples, converted them all to devotees of Krishna. And it's a very beautiful, very, very touching sort of service of reciprocation of love of Srila Vyasadeva to his spiritual master. Now, the other personality is Srila Vyasadeva. Now, Srila Vyasadeva, his father was, can you remember this, who his father was? Parashara Muni. Okay. Not to be confused with Parasharam, that's a completely different personality. But a great sage called Parashara Muni. And his mother was Satyavati, that is correct. His mother was Satyavati. Now, where did he live? Any ideas? Any ideas? He lived in the Himalayas, which is. And in the Himalayas, because the Himalayas is quite a vast area, he lived in a district called Badrik Ashram. And within that district of Badrik Ashram, he lived in a place called Samyaprash. Samyaprash in that particular area. Now by that place, Samyaprash, the river Saraswati flows. And every morning, he used to take his bath in the river Saraswati. And I'm reading this quote now from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, verse 16. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Once upon a time, he, Vyasadeva, as the sun rose, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Saraswati and sat alone to concentrate. In his meditation, he saw the future of the earth planet." Now, this is my summary now. In his meditation, he saw the future of the earth planet, of humanity, in this age called Kali Yuga. So he was foreseeing, when he was meditating, he saw the future of this earth planet. And what he saw was the qualities of the people would deteriorate to such an extent that they will be unable to inquire into the spiritual from the Yajurveda, from the Vedas. You understand? The Vedas would be too difficult for them. You know what I mean? The qualities of their character, their lifespan, their intellect, it would just be too little for them to be able to use the Yajurveda to help them to inquire into the spiritual. The purpose of human life is to inquire into the spiritual. Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Atato means now. Brahma means spiritual. Jigyasa means inquire. Now, into the spiritual inquire. That is the purpose of the human form of life. The human form of life, the human body, has that facility to inquire into the spiritual. No other species of life has that facility. All other species of life have facilities to enjoy various sense objects found in this material world. But the human form of life has that extra facility, which is to inquire into the spiritual. So the purpose of human life is to inquire into the spiritual. And we need guidance for that. Okay, we are dependent. Okay, we need someone to give us that guidance. We can't figure it out on our own. We are dependent. We are dependent on the air. We are dependent on the earth, on water, on all these things, on sunlight. We are dependent. You understand? And therefore, someone has to give us these things. Someone has to give us the Vedas, these body of knowledge that tells us how we can inquire into the spiritual, how we can become self-realized or spiritual beings again. Okay? So Srila Vyasadeva, that was his purpose in coming to this material world, was to give us this Veda. Originally there was only one Veda, Yajur Veda, and that was divided up into four Vedas. Now, why would Srila Vyasadeva want to do that? Now one can say, yes, he's a Shakti Vaishavatar, he's empowered to do that, he would want to do that. But there's another perspective, and this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 4, verse 12. This is a quote: those who are devoted to the cause of the personality of Godhead live only for the welfare, development, and happiness of others. They do not live for any selfish interest. So that is one of the symptoms of consciousness when it's being raised. When it's being raised out of ignorance, passion, goodness, shuddha sattva. When the consciousness is being raised, then automatically that person wants to do good for, wants to help other people. Okay? And we ourselves, we've experienced that as well. We've experienced, isn't it? When I came, I wouldn't consider myself a philanthropist, you know. I just wanted to be happy, you know what I mean? I wasn't, you know. But now, you know, now I, after many years of following this process of Christian consciousness, and my consciousness has gone up, I can see over the years. Just walking down the street, Oxford Street, you know, and you see so many people, and they got every single thing. They got the mobile phone, the iPod, nice clothes. But one thing they don't have is happiness. You can see on their faces. You see on their faces, they're stressed out. They're having a hard time, you know, existing in this world. You understand? And you sort of feel compassion. You feel, yeah, I wish I could help them. You know, I wish I could. You know what I mean? But then I think to myself, well, I am. I'm being part of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, we're all together, we're helping not only people down Oxford Street, but people around the whole world. You understand? We're helping everybody just by doing a little bit. I was thinking the other day, it's just like an engine, like a car engine, for example. There's major parts and there's minor parts, but they all have to be there. And if they all do their little bit, then the engine will drive the car. And I was thinking, yeah, I'm part of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I may be a tiny screw someplace, but still, if I do my little part well, then the whole ISKCON society can save all the people all over the world. Do you know what I mean? So it's just a thought I had. Okay, so going back, so initially there was the Veda, and it was called Yajur, Y-A-J-U-R, Yajur Veda. It's only one Veda. And Srila Prabhupada explains, it's in one purport in Bhagavad Gita, that this particular Veda was manifested from Lord Narayan, from his breathing. So we can see it has a spiritual, transcendental origin. And what Srila Vyasadeva did was that he saw these people, you know, they're not going to understand this single Veda, therefore he divided it up into four. And he got the different parts to be developed or expanded by different sages. Now, this Yajur Veda was divided up into the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, and Yajur Veda again. So the same name was used for a part of the original. So the Yajur Veda was divided up into the Rig, Sama, Atharva, and Yajur Veda. Alright? Now, these are considered the four Vedas. They are classified as Shruti because the Vedas were transmitted by speaking, and the disciple heard, and then he practiced, assimilated, then he spoke it to his disciple, and it went on that way. Now, the purpose of the human form of life is to inquire into the spiritual. And this is the only purpose of the human form of life. Now, when we enter this material world from the spiritual world, our first birth is that of Lord Brahma. And we can see, where are we now? I mean, we're not particularly happy, are we? We're not particularly... And then, even when you look around you, you see so many different species of life. Do you know what I mean? I mean, during the week, I go running. My doctor ordered me, I should go running in the fields for my health. So I do that. In the morning, when I'm running there, I see many... many owners taking their dogs for a walk, and all these dogs everywhere. I mean, some are quite friendly dogs. Some are actually like running. They come and run along with you. That's what I mean. So, but I was thinking, you know, these dogs, you know, they came into this universe, the spirit soul came into this universe and thought, but my, now the spirit soul is a dog. Do you know what I mean? And he's running around, and his most important activity is running and getting the ball that his owner's from and bringing it back to the owner. And that is his state of existence. And I thought, well, okay, I mean, what was that dog in a previous life? I said, well, you know, obviously he abused the human form of life. He didn't inquire into the spiritual. That's the reason now he's got his body of a dog. Maybe in a previous life, maybe he was some top scientist. Maybe he was one of these chief executives of one of these big multinational companies around the world. Do you understand? Maybe, you know, with some very, very big person. Do you understand? And now, you know, nice dog running on all fours in the fields, running and getting a ball and bringing it back to its owner. Probably he'd be, every decision he'd made would create billions of dollars or pounds. And now, his decision is how quickly he can get the ball and bring it back. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, when you look around you, you see all these insects as well, all these flies. Everyone was a human being at one time. Every single fly, every single bug was a human being at one time. Now, in this, obviously, so this is what happens if we neglect. If we neglect inquiring into the spiritual, the laws of material nature basically say, well, listen, you know, you're not using the body for what it's meant for, therefore let's give you a body which, you know, which will fulfill your desires. So therefore it's absolutely essential that we do this. Now, in this particular age, devotional service is a recommended process for inquiring into the spiritual. Because with devotional service, not only do we understand what is the spiritual, what is Brahman, but we understand Paramatma and Bhagavan as well. All three aspects of the spiritual, of the absolute truth. Now, Srila Vyasadeva, what he did, he decided to compose what's called a fifth Veda, made up of the Puranas, which includes the Bhagavad Puranas. There's 18 of them, and one of them is the Bhagavad Purana, and the Mahabharat, in which there is the Bhagavad Gita. Now, in this fifth Veda, it explains, it emphasizes, it highlights devotional service as being the means by which we can inquire into the spiritual. Why does Srila Vyasadeva now, under the direction of his Guru Maharaj, recommend devotional service? Because we can do it. We can do it. We can chant Hare Krishna, isn't it? We can chant Hare Krishna. We can offer our food. We can offer prayers. We can read the books and understand them. We can understand them. You know, that's why he recommends devotional service. It's much easier for us than following dharma, artha, karma, moksha. That takes a long time. Those things take many, many lifetimes. Now, Srila Prabhupada writes here in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 46 in the purport, this is the quote, "It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all the Vedanta and Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, knowledge, and resources to execute the purpose of the Vedas. This is hardly possible. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name." That's devotional service. And then there's a quote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, verse 54. "Bhaktiya tvananandya ya shakya aham evam vidojana gyatum drashtum chachatpena prabhishtum cha pravantapa." Translation: "My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood as I am, standing before you, and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter the mysteries of my understanding." Okay, so this is the reason why devotional service is recommended. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the means by which we can understand the Supreme Lord and perform devotional service. I've got some verses here which are about Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 41, "Sri Vyasadeva," this quote, "delivered it to his son." Who was the son of Sri Vyasadeva? Shukadeva Goswami, isn't it? And it's his speaking this Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Pariksit. And this is what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. What a family. You have Parashara Muni, isn't it? Then you have Srila Vyasadeva, and then you have Shukadeva Goswami. What an amazing family, isn't it? It's incredible. So, so Sri Vyasadeva delivered it to his son, who is the most respected among the self-realized, after extracting the cream of all Vedic literatures and histories of the universe. This is part of the purport. Vedic literature is like the milk ocean of knowledge. So Vedic literature is like the milk ocean of knowledge. Cream or butter is the most palatable essence of milk. And so also is Srimad Bhagavatam, for it contains all palatable. Palatable means that you can actually partake of it, you understand? It's not too difficult for you. What do you mean? All palatable, instructive, and authentic versions of different activities of the Lord and his devotees. And another part of the same purport, Srila Prabhupada says, "All the stories mentioned in the Puranas and Mahabharata, etc., are actual histories, not only of this planet, but also of millions of other planets within the universes." Okay, people say that these histories are imaginary. And Srila Prabhupada writes, "The great rishis like Vyasadeva had no business putting some imaginary stories into their literatures." So these are histories, they're not made up stories. Another verse glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 43. "This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana." Okay, so in this Kali Yuga, it's influenced by the predominant mode in Kali Yuga, which started 5,000 years ago, is the mode of ignorance. The mode of ignorance is characterized, "I am this body. If I want to be happy, let me satisfy my senses." Okay? If we're left without without knowledge, without the guidance of Srimad Bhagavatam. We will come to that conclusion. You have all these great intellectual people all over the world, all these great scientists, professors, they have Nobel Prizes. If you speak to them, what do they say? I am my body. I am this body, isn't it? If you find the top scientist in the world, and with all those Nobel Prizes in his position, and you ask him, are you this body? He says, yes, of course I am this body. And I'm very famous, I've written all these books, I get a lot of money, and praise. You understand? If we're left without guidance of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will come to the conclusion, I am this body. And for me to be happy, I have to satisfy my bodily senses. And what will that lead to? What will that lead to? In a future life, you're going to end up running around on all fours in the field, bringing a ball back to your own. Isn't it? And then every now and again, she gives you a sweet or something. I tell you, it's a hard life. I mean, there's one owner there, a lady, she's very strict with her dog. Very, very strict. He has to do exactly what she said. He's a very friendly dog because he comes out and runs up to me, he likes running. And then she sits. He has to do exactly what she said. I mean, it's a hard life. I say, it's a hard life being a dog. I mean. But anyway, so continue with this purport. So Sri Krishna appeared just before Kali Yuga and left in the beginning of Kali Yuga. And prior to his departure from this material world, he empowered Sri Vyasadeva through Narada to compile the messages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And thus both Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are like torchbearers for the blind people of this age. That means they give us light in this age of ignorance. They give us light and make us understand, look, you listen, you're not the body, you're a spiritual being. You are eternal servant. If you serve him, then not only will you be much happier in this life, in the next life, you're going to be free of this material world, which is temporary and full of miseries. So, another verse talking about Bhagavan Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from Canto 1, Chapter 3, Verse 41. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people, and it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Chaitanya declared Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. Histories of great devotees in direct contact with the personality of God. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. Let me read that again. That is an amazing statement. One can derive from the study of the Bhagavatam all the benefits that are possible to be derived from the personal presence of the Lord. It carries with it all the transcendental blessings of the Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact. So we read Srimad Bhagavatam, and the instruction given in that book, which Srila Prabhupada says, we worship Srimad Bhagavatam by careful and patient study. So if we do that, then we are coming in direct contact with Lord Krishna, as if he's personally present. And it says here, it carries with it all the transcendental blessings of Lord Sri Krishna that we can expect from his personal contact. Do you understand? From his personal contact. Now, devotional service is what's recommended by Srimad Bhagavatam. And ultimately, the Vedas does point towards devotional service. But as I said to you, the people of this age will find it too difficult for the original Vedas. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva came to give the Srimad Bhagavatam, to make devotional service accessible to the people like us, the ordinary people of this age. Now, what are the benefits of devotional service? There's so many benefits. Krishna consciousness, the goal of devotional service is to produce Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the highest type of consciousness. There's all different levels of consciousness. There's the consciousness, for example, you know, I am this body, let me satisfy my senses to be happy. Above that, there's this consciousness, yes, let me look after my family. Okay, it's a higher type of consciousness. Above that, there's another consciousness, okay, let me be a responsible citizen of my community. Another above that, okay, let me be a responsible citizen of the world. Let me not do anything that causes global warming or pollution or hardship or wars amongst other people. But higher, the highest type of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Now within Krishna consciousness is included looking after other people, benefiting other people, looking after the planet, not destroying the planet. Human welfare activity, just like in a billion pounds, included in that is 10 pounds, 100 pounds, 1,000 pounds, a million pounds. You understand? All these other types of consciousness, which we see have different groups. You know, for example, there's many groups now trying to stop wars, for example. Wars, there's so many wars going on all over the world. I mean, you can't pick up a newspaper without reading about some war. I mean, who's ever picked up a newspaper without reading about a war? You know, there's always a war. I end up on the front page, turn to the next, there it is. Or maybe in the middle, for example. There it is, another war going on. So many people being killed. So many people dying. So many people crying. Do you know what I mean? there's always, a lot of people are trying to produce peace. And these people obviously have a higher consciousness. Do you know what I mean? They're trying to produce peace in the world. But the highest type of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. If we make people in the world Krishna conscious, then all these other problems will be solved. Just like if you have £1 billion, then you can pay a million, you can pay a thousand, you can pay your 10 pounds for it. So if we make Krishna, everyone in this world Krishna conscious, then all these problems, all these wars, all these problems like global warming, where there's so many cars, so many factories pushing out this carbon dioxide. This carbon dioxide is forming a blanket around the Earth, keeping in the heat, heating up everything. What's going to happen? The polar ice caps, the North Pole and South Pole, which is all ice, when they melt, there's a huge amount of ice there, and it's melting, it's been melting already. What will happen? If it goes on for any further, that will raise the sea level. As the sea level rises, then the land area is going to be diminished. The water will rise up the land. And there'll be less space for human beings. Even now, people are saying it's overcrowding. There's overcrowding in this world. There's too little space. But when the global warming starts to take effect, you will find that even less space. Also, this global warming leads to these changes in weather. Some parts of the world you have these tsunamis, you have these violent weather conditions. Other parts of the world you have drought, you understand? So all these problems are caused by a lack of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said, there's no shortage of anything in this material world. The only shortage is Krishna consciousness. Do you know what I mean? We have all the resources to feed everybody. I mean, people are making propaganda. Oh yes, the population is becoming too big. There's anxiety how to feed people. You speak to anyone who owns land, who's a farmer, do you know what I mean? And he will tell you that is not the case. I was speaking to one man I know quite well over the years. He's a Turkish man. He's over here, he has his business. But in Turkey, for example, he has this land, orchard, and he was saying to me, and he knows so many other farmers, and this is the situation in many countries of the world, not only Turkey, many countries of the world, is that it costs more for them to pick the fruit and transport it to the marketplace to be sold than to actually leave it there to fall and rot. Do you know what I mean? This is the situation in all parts of the world. I mean, the cost of, for example, petrol is so high, and the cost of labor is so high. So it costs more for him to pay people and transport to the market to be sold than for him to leave it there and just let it rot. And that's the situation. Also, you see all these huge supermarkets and just the markets themselves that have fruit and so many things has a sell-by date. When something's reached that sell-by date, what do? They just throw it away. they just throw it away. For example, even apples and these other things, if they don't rot, if they lose their shine, then they just throw it away. Because customers only buy something which looks good. You know what I mean? So there's all this food being wasted. All this food being wasted all the time. And it's shocking. It's shocking. And what is this due to? It's due to mismanagement. In third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna is our father. A father takes care of his dependents. A father takes care of his dependents, isn't it? So, Lord Krishna is all powerful. Whenever a living entity is born, his subsistence is provided for. That's fair. So, this, and Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain the reason why there's this so-called propaganda about food shortage is because of the fact of mismanagement of the resources that we have. Now, this is not finished yet. Scientists are now looking for alternative food sources. Do you know what I mean? And what are they looking for? They're looking for something which they can reproduce themselves very, very quickly. And what are they looking at? They're looking at insects. Do you know what I mean? Insects. How to use insects. Even now, you can buy, in this country, chocolate with ants inside. It's not like the ants have accidentally got in there, but they're putting the ants inside. It adds an extra dimension to the taste of chocolate. And also on the internet, you can buy it. I think they're locusts or something. They're fried locusts. I mean, I don't know. They're probably crispy or something. You can buy in shops. You go to buy them. But scientists are seriously looking at insects as a source of food. And if you want recipes as well, there's recipes for cooking insects. There's a recipe for cooking scorpions. You know, you get scorpions and you cook the scorpions. And it tastes crispy, apparently. I don't know. It tastes crispy. So this is ridiculous. So from mismanagement comes food shortage. Then they do something ridiculous, like do a lot of research to try and make insects parts of human beings. So we can see that the consciousness is very, very low. We need to raise the consciousness. We need to raise the Krishna consciousness. And then people will manage things properly. They'll manage things properly. And then there will be proper management. All the entities will be taken care of. There won't be half the world starving and the other half overweight. Now my head of, because I do a teaching job, my head of department, he went to America. He's a Pakistani man, a very pious man, He went to America to visit his relatives. And when he came back, I said, well, how was your visit? How was it? He said, it was fine. I said, someone really said, but all those people there, they're so fat. All those Americans are so fat, they're overweight. You know what I mean? So you can see one part of the world is starving because they don't have enough food. The other, too much. One part of the world is starving, they become unhealthy. The other part of the world, they eat too much, they become unhealthy. I mean, this is mismanagement, you see. So what they need is Krishna consciousness. So things will be done in such a nice way that everyone will feel satisfied. And not only Krishna consciousness will make you happy in this life. That's one of the things I've experienced about Krishna consciousness, that if I get down a bit, for example, get down, maybe too much problems or something, I just come to the temple. I come to the temple here. And I just sit here, listen to the class, participate in the kirtan, and immediately my consciousness is lifted. I become very, very happy. Even in very difficult situations, you come and you're feeling down, and nothing you will do will lift you out of that sort of depression. Nothing. Do you know what I mean? And suddenly you just come here, into the temple room. Kirtan is going on. You just participate in the kirtan. Or a class is going on. You listen to the class. And suddenly your consciousness, bit by bit, rises to Krishna consciousness. And you feel happy. You just feel happy. Regardless of what's going on. And then when you go back out to deal with your problems, suddenly you find it's not as bad as I thought. My mind exaggerated it. My mind made, a mountain out of molehill. Made a tiny draft into a huge storm, which the mind does. Do you understand? So, Srila Prabhupada said, there's no shortage in this world. The only shortage is Krishna consciousness. And he established this ISKCON movement to spread this Krishna consciousness to every town and village, to fulfill the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and to obviously please Krishna. Now, we're coming to the end, so I'm going to quickly go to the end of my notes and just say something about the goal of devotional service. The goal of devotional service, that's what Srila Prabhupada writes. The highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. So if we chant, if when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we feel great pleasure, transcendental ecstasy, then that is the purpose of all the Vedic literature, all the four Vedas, the fifth Veda, all devotional service, is that when we can chant the holy name and we feel ecstatic love towards Krishna. I just want to finish with a few verses. Arjuna, the great hero of Bhagavad Gita, I just want to read his pure love for Lord Krishna is in the mood of Sakya Raj Guru Krishna. I've got three verses there which I just want to read to you. They're very beautiful. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Verse 1. Now, the background is Lord Krishna. He has finished his earthly pastime and he has left the earth planet. And Arjuna has heard of this. And there's many verses where Arjuna is expressing his heart, how he feels. Remember, it's in the heart of Arjuna. It's pure love, prema bhakti for Lord Krishna. Let me read, I just selected three verses. This is from 115, text 6. Arjuna says, I have just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. I have just lost him. The separation for a moment will render all the universes unfavorable and void, like bodies without life. So Arjuna is saying there, just like, you know, when Lord Krishna was present, there was something attractive about this universe. Now he's gone. There's nothing attractive about it. This universe is void. Just like when you have a body, a person, then living. When the soul leaves that body, then you have no attraction to that body. And in text number 17, Arjuna is saying, it was by his mercy only that my enemies neglected to kill me when I descended from my chariot to get water for my thirsty horses. And text 20, I am separated from my friend and dear most well-wisher. I am separated from my friend and dear most well-wisher, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore my heart appears to be void of everything. So that's the goal of devotional service, to have this prema bhakti, love for Lord Krishna. And, I'll finish there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I need super quick questions because I'm getting in trouble with our president here. I'm working soon. Okay. Thank you very much. All right, thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila yeah. Prabhupada Ki. Yeah. Gaura Premanan Hari Hari Bo. Srila Jayapataka Swami Ki. Personality to Sir Prashadam on the men's side. Thank you very much, Prashad. Yes, maybe someone else could help him as well. And to clean up the temple room. Thank you very much. Okay. So, book distribution yesterday. Viva Contra Dance collected at 10 Lakshmi, distributed one big, one Mahabig, and scored 3 book points. Here we go. Bhakti Nayarin collected 21 Lakshmi, distributed 21 small books, and collected 5.25 book points. Now, Govinda's restaurant, they served 260 customers and collected 2,096 Lakshmi. Govinda's restaurant, he's going to say a prayer to speak to Radhana Shah and our wonderful deities there. Can you repeat after me, please? Dear Sri Sri Radha Vandanishvara, Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra, Sri Sri Gauranitai, and Sri Giri Govardhan, we offer our most respectful obeisances unto you with a mood of deep gratitude and appreciation. We request your causeless mercy upon us. For your pleasure, we are endeavoring to distribute the books of your pure devotee Srila Prabhupada to the fallen conditioned souls of London. If you so desire, please enable us to cooperate together in a mood of selfless service in order to maintain and increase our efforts. Please send more devotees to assist us in bringing many new souls to your lotus feet. We, your surrendered servants, humbly beg. Srila Prabhupada ki. Maharaj ki. Gaura Premanam. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you very much.